Grace and peace to you from God our Father, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, and has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Amen. We'll consider the word of God which comes from Luke chapter 1. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, from henceforth all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." This is the word of God. We pray, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." Amen. In and through the name of that humbled servant, which God has exalted, the name which is above every name, dear fellow redeemed. Did you ever enjoy playing with a magnifying glass when you were young? Perhaps you still do. Or looking under a microscope to examine very, very small things. The word magnify comes from the Latin, which is also the title we often give to this song of Mary. We call it the Magnificat. And that's from the first verse where she says, "My soul magnifies the Lord." That word magnify in the Greek means to enlarge. Does God need to be enlarged? Isn't he already as big as they come? Well, when it comes to the work of which we consider in our text, it's actually something that not all people see. It's something a lot of people step over. It's something very small. Yes, people know of the Almighty, Eternal God, but often they don't think of the one who exalts the lowly and brings down the mighty. It is so small. What resides in the womb of Mary is no bigger than an acorn. And yet, it is also so big. For Paul calls it all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, Jesus Christ our Savior. Who would believe such a wonder could take place? The angel Gabriel, when he came to Mary, had to make this clear, saying, "With God, nothing will be impossible." In fact, truly this is the revelation of God's strength, because for God, his work is to make big what is small, and what is big, he will make small. Mary doesn't say, "My spirit has rejoiced in me." She says, "My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." And that's why the songs we sing this season are of the same essence. It is to magnify God. Notice all the references that she gives to put the focus on God, the source of our strength. He who is mighty, he has done great things. He has shown strength. He has put down the mighty, he has scattered the proud, he has sent the rich away empty. Truly, these are the songs we sing this Christmas. And on Christmas Day, we'll sing a hymn by Martin Luther called, "Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice," where he writes, "Proclaim the wonders God hath done, how his right arm the victory won, right dearly it hath cost him." Verse 51, "God hath scattered the proud, the imagination of their hearts." It is imperfectly natural for us to think this. Consider, for example, the sort of person you all know. The sort of person that thinks more of himself than he ought. This is the guy that gets up first at karaoke night to grab the mic. He's the guy that's first to be in the conversation, to finish the conversation, and to go home thinking that he really told you a thing or two. He's lost in his imagination. Yeah, you do know this person very well. Because this person is with you. Now, how natural it is for us to think, if we have someone else in our lives or in our families, to look around, to think of other people. And yet, look inside. You see this same person. The person called your old Adam, who is enthralled with describing himself, with putting himself first in your mind, in your heart. It's the reason why you get angry when you seem to not get the credit that you deserve. What happens when we participate in a gift exchange? Sure, we like it at first, but pretty soon down the road, with the rules, the spending limits, we end up sitting down at the end of the day and wondering if they really spent as much on you as you spent on them. We're exalted in our own imagination of our flesh. And we slip into that magnifying mode where we magnify ourselves. And when we do that, God is no longer as big as he really should be, as he really is. By revealing the salvation that God has worked in Mary's womb, God is scattering those proud thoughts. This is the lowliness that Mary recognizes it, and it's the lowliness that our faith too recognizes. As she says, he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. Meaning, she was a sinner just like you and me. God did not come for the pious. He did not come for the righteous. He came for the lowly, for people filled with sin. Verse 49, he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has shown strength with his arm. Yes, it wasn't all about Mary. Indeed, she put the spotlight on who needs the spotlight and who deserves it. The only one who truly can bring us songs of salvation. It's through that magnifying glass of God's word that what was once so small is now the biggest thing in your life. Literally, he has done a mighty deed with his arm. The arm, the strength, the muscle that wins the sword fight, that throws the knockout blow. On Christmas Day, we'll consider the words of Isaiah chapter 52, where Isaiah writes, the Lord has made bare his holy arm in the eyes of the nation, speaking of his salvation revealed. Yet, something so mighty, we would think, no one could pass this over. No one could miss this. And Isaiah goes on in chapter 53 to say, who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Why would he ask this question? Isaiah goes on, he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. We just spoke of a gift exchange. Well, here, in Christ, we have the greatest exchange. We have him receiving what we give him, which is nothing more than sorrow and sin. As Peter writes, he was reviled. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he was suffered, he did not threaten. Meaning, we gave him the worst, and he turned around and gave us the best. In all lowliness, he submitted to this. The mightiest deed ever. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. We starve without Christ. We don't lack food or clothes or house or home. These things come. But what we lack is the righteousness of God.
However, in Christ, that emptiness is filled fully, all the way. Meaning, in the midst of whatever loss you suffer in your life, you still have the most precious and most priceless gift ever known. You have that full peace with God. It can all be gone in a moment, in the blink of an eye. Those things that are so important right now, those things that trouble you, those things you're working hard to accomplish can all be gone, and this will remain yours forever. Yes, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." What God promised so long ago to Abraham, Mary now sees fulfilled. The seed has received what God has promised, the descendants. The descendants like you and me. Because Paul writes repeatedly that the true descendants of Abraham are not those of physical descent, but those who believe. We should think of ourselves as the richest beggars. We're poor, lost, empty, and yet we have what is most priceless, the greatest treasure. This is the song we sing. We sing of the might that dwells within Mary's womb that has come to us to give us the great gift of salvation. And for that we thank our God and rejoice in our Savior. We let God be magnified in His deeds, now and forever. Amen. Our service continues with the collection of the offerings.